The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
The passage I want to read for this morning is found in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1, and I'll read verses 26 through 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 26 through 31. This is what Paul writes. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Again, that's Paul writing to the Corinthians and his words from chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. I say to everyone that's hearing me this morning, this phrase, to God be the glory. You see, we live in a time of great swelling lip service to God, especially when it comes to salvation, Men honor God in salvation with their lips. They give thanks by mouth. And yet at the same time, they boast in their will. Now think about that. They give thanks toward God for their salvation, but yet they boast in their will. They like to call it free will. Yet at the same time, while they give thanks to God with their lips, they boast in their will. Or they boast in their worth. Or they boast in their work, or a combination of all these things. It doesn't matter. They boast in their so-called free will, as I said. They boast in how worthy they are, or how much effort they put out toward God. So we live in a sad time of great swelling lip service toward God. The Apostle Paul, though, is clear here. All boasting in self. All boasting in earthly place, all boasting in earthly position, all boasting in earthly wisdom is abhorred by God. Do you hear what I say? It's all abhorred by God. It doesn't matter whether you're just boasting in yourself, or boasting in your earthly place, or boasting in your earthly position, or boasting in your earthly wisdom. It is abhorred by God. You see, those who are saved by God, those who have experienced the salvation of God that is in Christ Jesus, they boast, or that is glory, as Paul, we have it translated here of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Those who are saved boast, they glory only in the Lord, being constrained to do so by his will, by his work, and by his worth. And that is the will, the work, and the worth of Christ Jesus alone. The lip service of our day is patronizing, condescending, self-righteous boast, and it is an affront to God. Hear what I say. I don't say this to be mean or just hard on people. It's the truth of our fallen state in our apparent Adam, we fell into a state of corruption and rebellion and self-will and self-righteousness, immorality and unrighteousness and ungodliness, the whole plethora of condemnation and judgment. We fell into this, and we wallow in it. We live in it by nature. Man drinks up iniquity like water. So again, I say that the lip service of today is patronizing, condescending, self-righteous boast, and it's an affront to God. But let's remember, this is no new phenomena among men. Even Jeremiah wrote, speaking for God, back in his day, hundreds of years ago, Jeremiah wrote these words in Jeremiah chapter 9, speaking for God. He says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Do you see that? It's not about knowing yourself. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So clearly this is no new phenomenon. Man has continued on just as he was since the fall of Adam. We boast in ourselves. And as I said, we boast in our will. We boast in our worth, or we boast in our work to some degree or another. We give great swelling lip service to God. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ said, we're just like those people our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to. He said, you're like those. You honor me with your mouth, with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. But the Apostle Paul reveals very pertinent truth here in my text for today. It's eternal truth. Eternal truth. Being eternal truth, it's unchanging truth. Being the truth of God, it's also glorious truth. So it's eternal. It's unchanging, and it's glorious. But yes, we must also acknowledge this. It's also stinging truth. You hear what I say? It's also stinging truth. It stings to hear it. When these things enter into our ears and they sink down into our hearts, I realize it's stinging truth. It's humbling truth. It's abasing truth. But this is the whole purpose, as it's expressed by Paul in this chapter. It's the whole purpose of God. Now, first of all, listen to me this morning. And I say this because, one, I care about my soul. But two, I care about your soul. God doesn't save men by error and through error. God saves men by the truth and through the truth. One thing is clear. One thing is quite clear from our text, the text I read this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Listen to me. According to verse 26, this truth is there. It may be a stinging truth, a humbling truth, an abasing truth, but it's still eternal and unchanging and glorious. Here's that truth. God does not call everyone. Listen to verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God Almighty does not call everyone. Even our Lord Jesus Christ said, recorded by Matthew, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God has never purposed to call everyone. And this lie that is being perpetrated by pseudo-Christianity is that It's a lie against God. It's a lie about God. It's a lie about God's Son. And it's a lie about His gospel. It is nothing more than the very nothing less than the very perversion Paul warned about in Galatians chapter 5. God does not call everyone. This is not some socio-political repugnance in God for certain classes. Now let me try to explain though what I'm talking about there. It's not just, he says, not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble are called, but this is not simply some socio-political repugnance in God for certain classes. Because one, it says not many. Anyone under the sound of my voice. If you are in this world's eyes, if you're one of the wise people, one of the mighty people, one of the noble people, you ought to fall down. This is my counsel to you. You ought to fall down on your face in gratefulness to God for this very thing. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise. Aren't you glad it didn't say not any wise? God in his sovereign pleasure could have willed it that way. But he didn't will it that way. He says not many wise. Now, if you don't like the fact that God said not many wise, that's your problem. Because this is who God is and what God says. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But again I say, this is not some socio-political repugnance in God for certain classes. Do not boast. I say to everyone, do not boast in your poverty. I say to everyone, do not boast in your ignorance. Do not boast in your ignominy. Do not boast in your ignobleness. Boast in nothing concerning yourself. Of course, it's clear. The wise man should not boast in his wisdom. The mighty man should not boast in his might. The noble man shouldn't boast in his nobility, because all of these things are earthly things, fleshly things, carnal things. But let me tell you, so is poverty. So is ignorance. So is ignominy. So is ignobleness. Do not boast in anything concerning yourself. That's the first thing. Realize this, God does not call everyone. And salvation relies upon the call of God, not the response of man. Go back to Romans chapter 8 sometime and read that. The call of God has to do with God's eternal purpose, the purpose which he purposed in Christ before the world began, the purpose wherein God predestinated a people to be conformed to the image of his Son, that Jesus Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestinated, what did them he also called. Those he called, them he also justified. Those he justified, those he also glorified. And this is an unbroken link in God Almighty's chain that no man, no demon, not even Satan himself can break. But here's the fact. God does not call everyone. And this is designed to make you tremble before the God of heaven and earth, because he does according to his will. Not only in the armies of heaven, yes, there, but also among the inhabitants of the earth. And none, not one, can say unto him, what doest thou? So first of all, according to the Apostle Paul, it is clear God does not call everyone. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But here's the second thing. Calling, now hear me now, calling comes because of election. Notice this. Let's read verse 26 again, but let us then continue on. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen. Notice the change of wording there. But God hath chosen. He didn't say, but God hath called the foolish things, though that's certainly true. But that's not what Paul says. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Do you see that? And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So we see that calling, this calling Paul speaks of here, comes because of election. Now, I'm going to read to you a lengthy passage. It's found in Paul's epistle to the saints who are at Rome, in Romans chapter 9. And listen to what Paul says here concerning the Jews. He starts out here concerning the Jews, the ones who had all of these promises and all of these, the covenants, the giving of the law. And this is what he says beginning in verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. You see it? Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At that time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children. Now I want you to lay hold of this if you can. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see, lay hold of this. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election, that's choosing, that's the same thing Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he, for God saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it, that is the election, the purpose, the calling, the salvation, the mercy, the compassion, all of it. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. This is the truth of who God is. This is the truth of what God does. This is the foundation truth of the gospel of the grace of God. For this very election is called the election of grace. So we see, first of all, God does not call everyone, but also calling comes because of election. You see, the reason for election resides in God's good pleasure, but it is not in man's will. It is not in man's work. It is not in man's worth, period. And that is what the book says clearly. You listen to any man that teaches anything contrary to this, and you are listening to a perverted message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, even perverted by men who lie on God. This is the truth of who God is. This is the truth of what God is doing. This is the truth of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And it is this: God does not call everyone, and everyone he does call, he calls them because he chose them. That is God's purpose. That is God's way. And that's the way it is. If you're in rebellion against that, that's your problem. That's your problem. Number three, it is God's sovereign pleasure to put down some people. Look at it right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to verse 19. For it is written, that lets us know this is not some new thing. Paul is taking this from the Old Testament, And he's applying it under even the new covenant. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You may mock me. You may mock what I preach. You may mock the God I preach. You may mock his Christ. You may mock his gospel. But God Almighty has you in his sovereign hand to do with as he pleases. And it is God's sovereign pleasure to put some things and some people down. That's his business. Number four, it is God's sovereign pleasure to confound. Do you hear what I say? It is God's sovereign pleasure to confound some things and some people. Listen to it again. Chapter 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. So these things stand absolutely, eternally, unchangeably, gloriously true in our text. Stingingly true, yes. Humbling true, yes. Abasing true, yes. But eternal, unchanging, and glorious nonetheless. God does not call everyone. Calling comes because of election. And it is God's sovereign pleasure to put down some things and some people. And it is God's sovereign pleasure to confound some things and some people. But number five. God's sovereign pleasure gives no boast even to the objects of his gracious elective calling. Do you see that? That's number five. God's sovereign pleasure gives no boast even to the objects of his gracious elective calling. Look at verse 27 again. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh, do you see that? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory where? Let him glory in the Lord. So God does not call everyone. Calling comes because of election. And it's God's sovereign pleasure to put down some things and some people. And it's God's sovereign pleasure to confound some things and some people. And it is God's sovereign pleasure, gives no boast even to the objects of his gracious elective calling. And number six, God's sovereign pleasure puts the chosen and the called where they must be. Look at it, chapter 1, verse 30 again. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. These people that God chose, these people that God called, must be in Christ Jesus if they are to be accepted of God. And he says, but of him, do you see it? It's a work of God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. So God's sovereign pleasure puts the chosen and the called where they must be. Foolish or wise, weak or mighty. Because remember, it doesn't say not any mighty. It says not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble. Whether you're foolish or wise, whether you're weak or mighty, whether you're base or despised or otherwise, if you ever find yourself in the favor of God, it's because God Almighty put you where you need to be. But of him but of Him are we in Christ Jesus. And here's the last one. Here's the last one. It is Christ the person. It is Christ the person that substantiates the place. Now let me read verse 30 again. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus is the place, but it's the person that substantiates the place. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh, do you see that? Do you see it? The last thing is this. It is Christ the person that substantiates the place. In other words, it's not even our lack of boasting in ourselves. It's not even our lack of boasting in ourselves and boasting in the Lord that makes the difference. That's not what makes the difference. Christ makes the difference. Thus, we boast only in Him. So again, let me read what the Apostle Paul says. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, see it? He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.